There are many individuals who, when they hear there's going to be a sermon on giving, go, oh, no, not a sermon on giving. There are some individuals who, when you preach about giving, they feel guilty, so they don't like a sermon about giving. There are other individuals who feel the emotion of anger. Oh, that preacher preaching about giving. He's always wanting us to give. All he wants is a raise. And then there's some who feel sadness. There's so many other things that a preacher could preach on. And he chooses to preach on giving. Well, folks, the reality is this. Giving is, and note that word, extremely important thing that you and I do as Christians. Now, some of you might ask a question. Preacher, how do you know giving is extremely important? In fact, your question is going to be the title of our lesson this morning. How do we know that giving is vitally, extremely important in our service to the Almighty God? We're going to answer that with four answers, and every one of them involve Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How do we know that giving is important, folks? We know it's important because Jesus did it, didn't he? I find it interesting that Jesus was really the ultimate giver. If there is an example of giving, this is the one, isn't it? And there are three elements of Jesus' giving that are very interesting. Number one, it was personal, wasn't it? You see, it wasn't just a little money. It wasn't just a gift of clothing. Oh, no. It was the entirety of himself that was given. Secondly, it was sacrificial in nature, wasn't it? He had to literally give up something that was of great value to him. His life was what he gave. And notice that it was not transactional in nature. We love transactional giving, don't we? That's what we do on Sunday mornings. The plate comes around and we throw in a check. We throw in a few dollar bills. That's transactional in nature. Folks, Jesus' gift was not transactional, was it? It involved his very being. It involved his blood. It involved his life. It was not transactional. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Paul spoke about what Jesus gave in Galatians 1 verse 4. And he says this, "Who gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God our Father." One of the most beautiful texts in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that, though he were rich, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich." My friends, Jesus gave everything. Now note this. If Jesus gave, then our giving is important, isn't it? Because we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. John makes a beautiful statement in 1 John 2, verse 6. And he says this, "He that saith he abideth in him." See, sometimes I would just like to ask the church the question, how many of you in here honestly say you are abiding in Jesus? Folks, if you're not, we need to sit down and study. Because you see, it's in Jesus where salvation is found. Now, if you say that you are abiding in Jesus, notice what he says. "He himself ought so to walk, even as he walked." If you truly say that you are abiding in Jesus, then folks, you need to do exactly what Jesus did. You need to walk exactly like Jesus walked. We need to give like Jesus gave, and yet we can never outgive Jesus, can we? How many in here think that they could ever outgive the Master? It'll never happen. You see, Jesus paid the greatest price. And he paid that price for the greatest number, did he not? The entirety of the world. And he paid the price for the greatest purchase, the souls of men and women. Folks, Jesus gave all as the ultimate giver. And what does he ask of us? You follow me. How do I know Jesus giving is important? Because Jesus did it. Number two, how do I know that giving is important? Because Jesus taught it, didn't he? And he taught it over and over and over in the pages of the Gospels. The first text we're going to look at, Jesus teaches us about the motive of giving in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 1. Listen to what he says. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, that ye may be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be seen in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret, he himself shall reward thee openly. Folks, Jesus is talking about the motive of giving. You see, there are some individuals, they love for everybody to know exactly how much they give. We give this big dollar amount, and they want everybody to know. They want everybody to see, and they want everybody to respect them because they are the big giver. Jesus says, that person has his reward, doesn't he? And yet Jesus counsels all of us. You give in secret. You don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Folks, that's pretty private, isn't it? When you can hide from your right hand what your left hand is doing, that's pretty private. Now, I realize there are some individuals in a congregation who know how much some people give in the church. That money has to be counted, does it not? And those individuals who count the money, especially the checks, they know how much individuals are giving. I sincerely believe that an eldership needs to know basically how much every member of a congregation is giving, because they are responsible for watching for your souls. And sometimes, folks, our giving can manifest covetousness. Did you know that? Selfishly keeping back from God what rightfully belongs to Him. But for the most part, none of us need to know what the other individuals give, do we? That's not our purpose in giving. We give in secret. We have the right motivation. We want only God to know what we give in order to glorify and honor His precious name, the motive of giving. The second thing Jesus teaches about is the measure of giving in Mark 12, 41 through 44. The Bible says this, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And they that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And Jesus called unto him his disciples and said, this poor widow hath cast more into the treasury than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now think about that. Money-wise, that woman gave nothing, hardly, did she? Two little mites. We might say two little pennies. Now there were others who came, and they were bringing bags of money. They were bringing buku of money. They were bringing all the money that you could possibly imagine and casting that into the treasury. As far as dollar amount, the widow did not outgive the rich. Now watch this. Jesus wasn't concerned about dollar amount. You want to know what Jesus is concerned about? Percentages, isn't he? You see, there's times when we can give a check into the contribution, and folks, it doesn't hurt us one iota to give that money, does it? We don't feel it at all. There's no pain whatsoever. We just cast it in, and then we've got tons left over to do with as we please. Think about that. Even if we give 10%, we still have 90% of what we earn to do with as we please. Ask yourself a question. Have you really ever hurt because you've given to the Lord? Most of us have not. But think about that poor widow. She comes and all she has is two mites. That's it. She of her want did cast in all that she had. Jesus said, even all of her living. And because of that, Jesus says, she hath cast in more than all they which cast into the treasury. You see, folks, Jesus knows all there is to know about us, doesn't he? Oh, yes, he sees the dollar amount, but he also knows how much he's blessed you. He knows how much he's given you. And he knows the percentage of what you're giving versus what he has given to you. And so Jesus tells us it's not a dollar amount that's important. It's a percentage that's important. It's what you give in relation to what you have received from God that is truly the measure of giving. And every one of us need to keep that deeply, deeply in mind. The third thing that Jesus taught involved the merriment in giving. Paul said this in Acts 20, verse 35. For I have taught you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Now listen. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We live in a receiving society, don't we? Everybody is trying to figure out every way they possibly can in order to get something for free, don't they? And it just tickles them to death to hear, oh, you're going to get some money. Oh, you're going to get this gift. Oh, you're going to get this over here. And everybody just wants to get. And they fight to get. Jesus says that's not where the blessing is. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Folks, the blessing comes to the giver. The blessing, it comes to the one who sacrifices. The blessing comes to the individual who, rather than wanting and desiring, is willing to give up what he has. And you see, when we finally mature to that particular point in our Christian lives where it is blessed to give, folks, there's no trouble whatsoever for us to give whatever is needed in order to provide for our Lord, to provide for His cause, to provide for the precious church of our Lord and Savior. The right motive, not to be seen of men, only to be seen of God. The right measure, not based upon dollar amount, but based upon what we give in relationship to what we have earned, and the right merriment. You see, it's a joy to give to the Lord. How do I know that giving is important? Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taught about giving on a regular basis. Point number three. How do I know that giving is important? Because Jesus commanded it. Let's look at three verses. The first verse is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Watch what Jesus says. Give to him that asketh thee. Well, that's a toughie, isn't it? We don't like to do that. Because when people find out that we'll give when they ask, they just keep what? They just keep asking, don't they? It's not an easy one. But yet that's exactly what Jesus says. Give. to him that asketh thee. This next verse comes from a passage we just looked at, Matthew 6, verse 3. Notice what Jesus says. But when thou doest thine alms, I find it interesting that Jesus did not say this, and if thou doest thine alms. There's no if there. But when thou doest thine alms. Jesus knew that God's people are going to what? Are going to give. There's no ifs. There's no ands. There's no buts about it. God's people are givers. And when you give, you do this. A beautiful passage is found in Luke 6, 38. And Jesus starts it with that little word, give. Give and it shall be given you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over shall men give into thy bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now notice how Jesus begins that verse. Give. It's not a question. It is a directive, is it not? It is an imperative. Give. And if you give, this is what will happen to you. Folks, giving is not an optional matter. Giving is a command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's couple those three verses with 1 John 5, verse 3. All of us know the verse well. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. I want us to focus on the second half of the verse for just a moment rather than the first half. We always focus on the first half, don't we? That the way we express, the way we manifest our love toward God is through obedience to His commands. And that's true. And I'm not trying to negate that. But I want you to look at the second part of the verse. His commands are not what? Grievous, He says. That little word grievous means this. Weighty, heavy, burdensome, severe, cruel, unsparing. God commands us to what? Give. My friends, that command is not grievous. If God wants us to give, if He wants us to give all, that command is not a burdensome, loathsome command that you and I should dread, that you and I should turn away from, that you and I should ignore. We need to adhere to it and realize that this is not a cruel command. It is not a difficult command. It is not one that's been laid upon us for us to bear a burden. It is a manifestation of my love toward God, and no command that He gives for me to show that should ever feel like a burden upon me. How do I know giving is important? Because Jesus watches givers, doesn't He? Let's go back to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I just love this particular passage of Scripture. Jesus just props Himself up somewhere so He can watch every person who passes by. Here's my question. Folks, if giving is not important, then why was Jesus watching all of those people as they gave that day? The reason He was watching is because Jesus knew something about giving, didn't He? And you can make a whole nother lesson on this one point and go into it in great detail. Number one, Jesus knew that giving is an act of love. So as He sat there and He watched those individuals, He was watching to see how much they truly loved God. Secondly, Jesus knows that giving is an act of selflessness. The very minute that I commit to give something to another individual, to give money into the treasury, is the very moment that I have to give of self, don't I? And the question that I have to ask myself is this: how much of self am I willing to give to another? That's the question. So Jesus was watching. How much of themselves are they really willing to give to the Lord? Thirdly, Jesus knew it's an act of obedience. So he was watching to see who's going to obey and to see who is not going to obey. Fourthly, Jesus knew that giving is an act of imitation. Who are we imitating? We are imitating Him. We are imitating God, the ultimate givers, for God so loved the world that He gave. So he was wondering, how many of these individuals are going to imitate God Almighty in their giving? He knew also that it is an act of sacrifice. How many people are truly willing to sacrifice themselves for me? And it is a sacrifice, is it not? Folks, the very minute you commit money to the church, the very minute you commit any of your funds to the Lord's cause, it is a sacrifice. You are giving up something that you could have, that your family could have, that somebody could have other than God. So it is a sacrifice. Notice this. He knew that it was an act of charity, or of generosity as well. How generous am I going to be with my funds? Just how much am I willing to let go of? Is it just going to be a smidgen? Is it just going to be this little bitty percentage of what I give, make? Or am I going to give abundantly to the Almighty God? Because you see, I really understand that this isn't my money anyway. It really all belongs to God, doesn't it? He's also looking at an act of thanksgiving. You see, folks, every time you and I give to God, we are thanking Him for what He has given to us. Jesus knew all those things. And so what is He doing? He's standing over against the treasury, beholding how people cast money into the treasury. Folks, before we go to the conclusion, here's what I want you to understand. Every day, every Sunday, when you and I give of our means, guess who's watching? Our Lord is still sitting over against the treasury, beholding how people cast money into the treasury. He knows, doesn't He? Since Jesus was so actively involved in this little action of worship that we call giving, I know that it's important, don't you? I know it is. Jesus gave, He did it. Jesus taught it, at least on three occasions. Jesus was an individual who watched how individuals gave into the treasury. Folks, the entirety of Jesus' life revolved around giving. 4 points. Number one, we need to follow Jesus' example, don't we? 1 Peter 2, verse 21, that ye should follow in His steps. Number two, we need to apply the teachings of Jesus to our lives. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7, 24. Thirdly, we need to obey His commands. The Bible says that He is the Savior of all those who obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. And fourthly, we need to be aware that He's watching. Neither is there any creature not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eye of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. You stop a minute and you think about that. He gave, He wants us to give. He taught about giving, He wants us to apply those teachings to our lives. He commanded giving. My friends, the best we can do is obey. And lastly, He has watched our giving. And He's watching it even this morning. There's one verse that I want us to go to close this lesson this morning. Very simple lesson on giving, isn't it? But listen to what Paul writes. God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Folks, it's not a burden. It ought to be a joy to give. And when there is a need, and when you and I have to reach down deep into our pockets and give to the cause of Jesus Christ, that should not anger us, sadden us. We should not have to feel guilty over that whatsoever, folks. We ought to do it with joy and be cheerful because we have an opportunity to shine for the Master in our giving. We started off our lesson by talking about the fact that Jesus is the ultimate giver, isn't He? He's given all for us. Our question is this. In order for you to become the kind of giver that God wants you to be, folks, you first have to give your heart and soul and life to Him. Have you done that this morning? Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel and you need to. The steps are so simple, aren't they? Hear the truth just like those Jews did on the day of Pentecost. Be convicted of that truth, knowing that Jesus is the Christ, the crucified one, the one who is risen from the dead. Believing that with every fiber of your being. And that faith in expressing itself, crying out, "What must I do?" Repent of sins, confess the beautiful name of Jesus, and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. You see, folks, that's an act of selflessness on our part. We crucify ourselves and give ourselves totally to the Almighty God. When we arise a new creature, don't we? In Christ Jesus. And my friends, it's that relationship that you and I share with the Almighty God that makes giving so easy, doesn't it? I'm His child. Look what He's done for me. Look how He's blessed me. And all I want to do is give back just a little of what He has given to me. But again, even for Christians, to do that, you've got to give your life to Him. My friend, can you honestly say that every day of my life, I live for Jesus. And my life manifests that to God, to the church, to the world. If not, you need to repent. And you need to ask God to forgive you. If there's sin in your life that's separated you from God, you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you.